A dark pool of water reflects the bejeweled night sky. Dolphins surface and resubmerge. A shimmering cocoon from which emerges a beautiful winged fairy. The Europa Corp logo. Rogue Pictures presents a Europa Corp and Danny the Dog Limited production. In co-production with Teofan Films Production, in association with Tianyang Incorporated and Current Entertainment, with the participation of Canal Plu. Producers Luc Besson, Jet Li, and Stephen Chasman. Music by Massive Attack, end credit music by The RZA. Artistic consultant, Robert Mark Kamen. A blinding light swings across the screen, out of focus. Jet Li. In dark surroundings, a young Oriental man, Danny, trudges wearing a leather collar with a metal buckle. His gaze is fixed downwards. Morgan Freeman, Bob Hoskins. Kerry Condon. Written by Luc Besson. Directed by Louis Leterrier. Unleashed. A squat, bald-headed man in a white suit called Bart walks beside the humbled Danny. He unclips the collar.
Gam.
Danny's glazed eyes snap into focus. He is in a warehouse. He jumps and simultaneously kicks two oncoming assailants, sending them flying. Four men rush him. He dispatches them all with a series of lightning-quick blows. He headbutts the fist of one attacker, who screams in pain. He decks another with a flurry of punches. The man drops to his knees and Danny jumps on him. With super keen hearing, he hears the footsteps behind him of another oncoming assailant. He jumps on the man, striking down with a series of headbutts. He then fashions another with a windmill kick and fells two more with impressive efficiency. He grabs the man by the neck, strikes him in the face, then breaks his arm. The man screams. Another attacker grabs Danny's hair, but he pulls away, hair flying off his head. He pummels the man brutally. Another man seizes Danny by the neck, but Danny throws him to the ground, and after a heel to the crotch, batters him with a series of elbows to the chest. He sweeps another assailant to his knees and beats his head furiously on the concrete floor. Terrified, the ringleader pulls a pistol from a desk drawer and fires on Danny. Danny dodges and kicks the desk, trapping the man behind. Bart cackles.
Boy!
You borrow money from me, you're expected to pay it back. We pay it back, the collar stays on. You don't pay it back, the collar comes off. It's a simple set of rules.
Give us your arm! I'm still... He ain't...
He takes the man's money and jewellery.
Nice. We'll be back. Come on, Danny boy.
He puts the collar back on Danny, in a car across the city.
I had a dream last night. I was sitting under those umbrellas that they make out of palm leaves, you know? And these beautiful golden-skinned girls dressed in just like little grass skirts. The skin that they was born in. And they came over, one after the other. And they brought me a drink in a coconut. And as they served me the drink, they brushed their tits across my face.
Oh, bloody hell.
Hey, boss, I think George is getting a chubby.
Ha-ha, you shut up, Lefty. You're the one getting a fucking hard-on, not me.
Ah, well, that was the end of the best bits.
After the girls, the whole thing turned to shit. This giant mumpet turned up with a machine gun. Started blasting away until there was nothing but blood and guts and... It's a body everywhere.
Nice one.
A real nightmare.
Beside Bart, the insular Danny just stares at a scrap of paper caught in the window.
I bet you've never had a dream in your life, have you?
Danny ignores him.
Yeah. Must be peaceful. Here. Have a bit of that.
That's it. I hate dreams.
Bart's dingy lockup.
Guilty boy.
Righty, you mad bastard.
Righty. How's it get on?
Hello, Governor. All my people paid to the penny. 2,700.
Give the lad a drink.
Cheers, Governor.
Yeah? What do you want done with Danny?
Oh, sort him out. His face is bleeding. Look, sort him out.
Anybody have any trouble?
Put it on him. Oh, nice.
Jewellery and cash.
You've got your...
Come on, Danny. You heard the Governor.
Here's a bounce. All right.
Sort yourself out. Okay. Come on, Danny. Danny, come on. Danny, come on!
Georgie gave Danny a roll of medical plaster. Danny lies in a dimly lit cage on a concrete floor. Above him, a teddy bear hangs over a steel duct looking down on him. He reaches up several times, adjusting the bear indecisively. He stands under a bare light bulb, pummeling an old leather punch bag. The seams split and sand pours out. Danny cups his hands and catches some before attempting to push it back into the split with a worried expression on his face. Sitting on a flight of steel steps, he shovels tinned spaghetti into his mouth with his fingers. Sauce runs down the can. On his makeshift bed, he pulls out a faded children's alphabet book called ABC Book. He flicks through it. On one page, a large letter K and the word kiss with an illustration of two people kissing. L for love and a mother hugging her child. M for milk and a bottle of milk. Danny's enthralled. A large green P for piano and a picture of a grand piano. Blood trickles down Danny's forehead and drips onto the pages. He wipes his brow with the back of his hand and stares at it. At the end of the bed is the roll of plasters that Georgie gave to him. He reaches over, picks it up, and turns it in his hands while he thinks. Beside him, sand is still pouring out of the leather punch bag. Nighttime, and rain pours onto Bart's white Jaguar XJ as it rolls through the double doors of the darkened lockup. He and Georgie hop out with a prostitute. Bart swigs from a champagne bottle.
Here, come. Give us a pose.
That's it. Hold it. Yeah. Beautiful. Oi. Get back in the car.
Fucking beast. Fucking wanker.
I will get a close-up. That's it.
Bart takes Polaroids of her.
Let's have a look.
Don't put your hands on it. You'll mark it.
Oh, hello.
Georgie sulks in the car.
No, not here.
Oh, yes. Yes, you're right. Let's go somewhere more comfortable.
Bart's off his desk.
Life's so rough. No, turn the light on.
No light.
Turn on the lights.
Bart grumpily flicks on a lamp and grabs at her knickers.
I like to see who I'm making love to.
I don't.
She flings her onto all fours. She sees Danny looking up through a grill in the floor. She legs it.
Where you going?
Bart stamps on the grill.
Massive lights! Fucking
below, Danny smacks the punch bag, now patched up with the plaster Georgie gave him. It turns into a man who flies across the floor of a gym. Danny and Bart square up to the huge hairy man in a boxing ring, who has a shorter man stood beside him.
Boy!
The large man eyes Danny and turns to the shorter man.
No worries.
Hey, Nigel!
He walks off.
Okay, Bart. All right. You want this, yeah?
The man gives Bart his jewellery. Later, Bart, Lefty, Georgie and Danny march into a dingy tiled corridor. As they mount the staircase, Bart unclips Danny's collar and he rushes ahead eagerly. Bart's white Jag pulls up in a grimy alleyway and the four men jump out. The middle-aged, sour-faced Bart in his white suit leads Danny through the cluttered passageway, past the wall of step ladders, and down through a dark doorway. Swarthy, handsome Georgie and scrawny Lefty follow as they re-emerge in a shopping centre. They march up to a jeweller's and Bart unclips Danny's collar. Danny rushes in. They pull up to the back entrance of a city pub and jump out. At the wooden doors, Bart unclips Danny's collar and pushes him inside. He turns back and gives Georgie a smug wink before a body flies through the window. Bart sets Danny loose again, watching him with a satisfied grin as he fondles the collar. Later, the gang pull up on an affluent cobbled street by the river. Georgie opens the car door for Bart.
Turn it round, keep it running and keep your eye out for the old bill.
Good luck, Sam.
Look, don't need it, bruv.
Lefty skips up stone steps to the entrance of Raffles, a swanky jeweller's. Bart and Danny follow. In a plush office, the owner, a well-groomed man in his 40s called Raffles, lights a cigarette. Smoke slowly escapes from his lips as he eyes the meek-faced Danny. He sits in a wing-back chair guarded by several goons.
You know what I've always found fascinating about this whole situation of yours, Bart, buddy? You basically turned a man into a dog.
Well, that's what my sainted mum used to say. Get me young enough, and the possibilities are endless. Unlike yours at the moment.
So let me work this through one more time. I don't pay you. You take his collar off.
Correct, Armando.
You take his collar off, he beats us all to death.
Nah, who's the bright penny?
So it's in my best interest to keep that collar on.
Penny! Kill him! Kill him!
Raffles' goons have seized Bart and Lefty. Penny! Danny just stands there looking lost. Raffles looks at Danny.
When you finish with the master, kill the dog.
Beaten with batons, Bart and Lefty plead with Danny, who does nothing. Raffles walks onto the shop floor and casually greets a customer.
Good to see you, Mr. Youssef.
In the office, Bart pushes a goon over, grabs his baton and smacks him in the head with it. He breaks a leg of another. After whacking the first guy again, he staggers over to Danny and unclips the collar. Danny's expression hardens and he turns to the men. In the shop...
Find anything you like yet?
A customer.
Not yet.
Danny chases a man through a corridor. Raffles hears the scream as a man comes crashing through a wooden slotted door.
Stop him!
Two men grab Danny, but he punches them into glass with blades. He fells another man who attacks him with a baton. More men rush him. A refined-looking customer looks on with intrigue. He stamps on a man before fixing another in a headlock to deliver several knees to the stomach. The customer, a sharp-featured man with a goatee, grins as he watches. Danny roars and bashes a man's head into a table.
Nice puppy!
Danny grabs the cringing Raffles and flips him on his back with his tie before repeatedly stamping on his stomach. Bart staggers in, dabbing the blood on his face. Danny stops. Bart shoves an unconscious man off a display table.
I don't know what it is with people. Maybe I've got a speech deficiency.
Take what you want.
Oh, no. My mum didn't bring me up to be a pig. Like some people I know, I only take what I'm owed. But this time...
He inspects the gem.
Yeah. With a little interest. Because you are such a fucking arsehole.
He stamps on Raffles' crotch and with a thunderous expression puts the collar back on Danny. To the mysterious customer.
What are you looking at?
Just enjoying the show.
Good.
Bart leads Danny out amidst the carnage. Outside.
Don't you ever leave my side again!
You said stay in the car!
Shut the fuck up! Get in, bitch!
Lefty kicks Danny into the back of the Jag and Georgie drives the crew away. Back at the lockup, Bart's furious at Danny.
I don't believe it! He just stood there and watched him beat the crap out of me. Even a dog has got the brains to come to his master's defense. Bite him, claw him, piss on him. Anything for fuck's sake.
Jesus.
Jesus, boss, you don't look too good.
Bart looks up incredulously.
Another original thinker.
Oh, no, I just meant that maybe you might want to go on.
What's next?
It's the antiques place.
Nah, let's do it.
Are you sure you're up to this?
No. You let one of them payments slide and they're all turned into original thinkers. Find a decent pub first, sir. I want a pint. You useless piece of shit!
He leads Lefty, Georgie and Danny through a small door set into the large double doors of a warehouse. The doors are green with a painted logo reading, Macintosh Antiques Warehouse.
Right, now, here's the plan. I'm going to try and settle this in a peaceful and professional manner. If that doesn't work, I'm going to press this... Oi! Oi, oi! Pay attention. Now, when I press this button, this red light is going to start blinking, right? The red light blinks, you go through that door quicker than a mouse, chasing a bit of chick. Keep your hands off him, will you? And stop fucking smirking. The red light blinks. Look at me. Concentrate. The red light blinks, you go through the door. That's all you got to remember, right? Light, door. Light, door. Light, door. Oi! Right, and don't take your eyes off the light.
And don't let me down.
Georgie?
Yes, mate.
Hang that up there.
What, up there?
Danny was distracted by an upright piano. Georgie hangs the black box with a red light on the wall.
The light, Danny. The light. Red means go. Right?
Bart points Danny at the black box, and with remote control in hand, leads Lefty and Georgie away. In the dingy warehouse, surrounded by old pianos and various junk, Danny's fixated on the black box. He throws a glance at the handsome upright piano before looking back at the box suspended above him. In his dirty old knitted jumper and eyes still fixed on the box, he edges backwards to a piano behind him. Feeling the keys with his hands, he turns and places the tips of his fingers on the keyboard. He runs his hands up the keys and dares to press one.
Ay, 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 ay. Sounds like someone in here could use my help. Hi. How you doing? I'm just gonna tune these pianos. Probably be a couple of hours. If you don't mind.
An old blind man in sunglasses throws off his coat and hat and sits at a piano.
You like pianos?
Danny stands in the corner.
Yeah, me too. Plus, you know, this whole place is like a... It's like a big treasure chest. Probably gonna be a whole month getting all these ladies back into health. You know, tuning pianos is really hard work, and my back isn't what it used to be. Are you doing anything important right now? Because I could really use a hand here. How about it? Please? Are you still there?
Danny waves his hand at the man called Sam, but he doesn't respond.
You are, aren't you?
Yes.
Good. Good. Come on.
Sam pats the space on the stool next to him. Danny nervously tiptoes over and sits down. Sam shuffles along to make room.
I know a lot of people think because the piano's so big, it is very strong, and you can just pound on it any way you want to and nothing will happen, but that's not so at all. Piano's a lot like people. I mean, you pound on a person, they get out of tune. Same with a piano. Pound on them and... Lord, listen to that, eh? Sad as a baby crying. I tell you what I want you to do now. When I say press, I want you to press on these keys, starting with this one right here and going to the right. One, two, then three. Think you can do that? Okay. Put your hand here just like that. All right? Ooh. Ooh. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wait a minute. Loosen up. That's it. Music's got to flow from within, you know? Can't flow if you're all stiff. One key there. Just relax. Nothing to be afraid of. And there we are. Are you ready? And press. A little harder. Good. Again? Good. Listen, you show a real talent for this sort of work. Okay. Press it again. Press. Oh, wonderful. And one more time. Ready? Press. Press. Go ahead. Relax. Let the energy flow. Let the magic happen. Good, 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 good. Excellent. Excellent. Oh, hold on. Now.
Having stood up to tune the piano, Sam sits down.
You want to see what you did?
Yes.
Check this out. Is that the sweetest sound of what?
Yes.
Want to try it? Yeah, come on. Put the fingers right there. Hit it. Next stop, Carnegie Hall. You know about Carnegie Hall? It's this big place in New York City. All the great musicians want to play Carnegie Hall. I did too. When I was growing up, it was my big ambition. But I never was that good a musician.
Danny looks down sadly.
You okay?
Yes.
Good. What's your name?
Danny squirms nervously.
Okay, all right, Mr. No Name. My name is Sam.
He offers a handout to Danny, who takes it cautiously. They shake.
Pleased to meet you.
Me too.
Good. That's good. So, tell me something, Mr. No Name. I've been hearing a sort of clicking sound. Do you hear it? Or is it just...
Danny spins around, the red light flashes. He sprints out the door to see Lefty and Georgie all bloody and cut, having had to dispatch a couple of heavies by themselves. Bart pushes his way out from under another body with a murderous expression.
I'm gonna sell you, is what I'm gonna do!
He throws the remote at Danny.
If you can't do what I've trained you to do, what fucking use are you? No fucking use is the answer. No fucking use at all. I feed you, I clone you, I put a roof over your head, and all the time I put in, a fucking effort, to make you the man that you are. And what gratitude do I get? Look at me! I look as if I've just been through the third fucking world war! Take him downstairs, get him out of my sight!
Come on, doggy. Come on.
I'm getting too old for this.
Go on then, Danny. Get in! Get in!
I'm busy!
I said get in there!
I'm out here to see you. I just told you I'm busy.
He says he's got a business proposition for us. He says it's about the show you put on today.
Bart reluctantly nods.
Pat him down.
Already did.
All right. Wheel him in. Fucking visitors looking like this. It's a joke.
Bart dabs his bloody face with TCP.
Shit! Jesus!
The visitor is the customer from Raffles, Wyeth, gaunt with a balding head and impeccably dressed. He eyes Danny through the grate in the floor as George shows him and a couple of goons through to Bart.
Leave us.
Bart's behind his desk.
I'm listening. That was a very impressive display your man put on in the jewellery shop today.
I assure you it was entirely justified.
I'm sure it was. That thing with the collar. Brilliant.
And the point of this conversation is...
The point of this conversation is I'd like to offer you a lucrative proposition.
How lucrative?
Very lucrative. Should I continue?
Please.
Wyeth talks over a flash forward.
It's an entertainment I produce for some friends once a month. Members only, so to speak.
What?
And we're always on the lookout for new talent. The first fight is a tryout. For that, you get 15,000. For the second, 20 plus the right to bet. We had one chap who, after fees and betting on himself, got up to 500,000 a fight. That's only if you win, of course.
Well, how'd you get to win?
It's to the death.
Bart takes an elevator deep underground.
So glad you could make it. Please, follow me.
Wyeth grins and leads on.
Where's the money?
Oh, well, the money comes after.
After what?
After you beat him, our current champion. Undefeated in 15 rounds.
He smashes a brick over his head.
Care for a glass of champagne?
We won't be here that long.
Bart whips a shawl off Danny and unclips the collar.
Kill him.
Danny trots down a flight of steel steps into the grimy fighting arena. Bloodthirsty spectators sip champagne from elegant dining tables on the sidelines. Danny calmly approaches the ranking opponent, a large brute of a man with a chainmail vest and leather mask.
Rip his fucking ass off!
The brute swings to Danny, who dodges and delivers three blows to the neck in quick succession. He turns as his opponent collapses, blood gushing from his mouth.
That's my body!
Bart throws the shawl back over Danny and leads him to the elevator. Wyeth follows.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You're most welcome. Very impressive. That bit with the collar. How did you do that?
Like my saint of a mum used to say, get them young and the possibilities are endless.
Well, it was the Jesuits who said that.
Oh, probably got it from my mum. If you want us back, you do know where to find me.
Oh, we certainly want you back. Only, if you could make it a little more entertaining next time.
I'll see what I can do.
Bart relieves Wyeth of a wad of cash and grins greedily as he closes the elevator door. In the Jag, Georgie drives as Bart counts his money in the back. Danny sits beside him, staring out the window.
Yeah, remember I told you about that dream I had?
What, the one with all the birds in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've figured it all out. Do you know who Freud is?
No.
Well, I'd have done that. Freud was a genius. And his whole thing was that if you dream something, it means something else.
Yeah.
Like the girls, the island, the drink.
Yeah,
they were just symbols. What they actually represented was like comfort, relaxation, no worries.
Thief, this swell turns up offering us more money than we could save in 20 years. Well, it all becomes clear, doesn't it? The dream, the swell, it means retirement. You get it?
Yeah.
Oh, no more filthy collections.
Really?
No more beatings. Oh, I tell you, I feel really good here. And I feel generous. Danny, what do you want?
A piano.
Excuse me?
I want a piano.
A piano? Oh, yeah. How about a lobster dinner?
I want a piano.
How about a woman? You've never had a woman?
I want a piano.
Danny, you're starting to piss me off.
I want a piano.
That's what I love about you, Danny. One fault at a time. That's what makes us such a good team. The brains and the brawn. I'll tell you, this is going to be one lovely day.
As they emerge from a junction, a Mac R-Series truck plowed into the car pushing across the road. A silver Mercedes pulls up nearby, and three suited men get out with machine guns and spray the Jag. Scrooge rattles the bump on the car. Bart cries out as he kicks.
Let's go.
The three gunmen climb into the back of the Mercedes, driven by Rattles, and speed off. With the Jag peppered with bullet holes, and Georgie and Bart bloody and unconscious, the frightened Danny lifts his head up, clutching a wound on his arm. Macintosh antiques on the corner of a busy thoroughfare. Sam, in a long grey coat, shuffles up to the door. In the warehouse, he talks to the pianos.
Good morning, ladies. How are we all this morning? Here you are. You've been very patient waiting for me, madam. So I'm going to devote myself to you all day.
He lays his hand tenderly on a lacquered grand piano and sits down at it. Danny shuffles in a pool of blood.
Who's there? It's you, isn't it?
He's still clutching his arm.
Yes.
Well, isn't that something? You know, I went right home and I told Victoria, my stepdaughter, I told Victoria all about you.
His arm gushing with blood, Danny collapses in a red puddle on the concrete floor. He dreams of white flowers, of peeping out from a dark cupboard where a smarmy man licks the neck of a scared woman, a gold ring glistening on his finger. Blood spatters on the cupboard, and Danny wakes up with a start to find himself tucked up in a small bed and wearing pajamas. He bolts up and hits his head against the wall behind him. He clutches his arm and looks around. The room is dimly lit by a small lamp. His raggedy old clothes are neatly folded on a faded leather armchair beside him. He reaches for them, but hears footsteps and dives to the floor. Sam lets himself in with a tray of food.
Hello? Don't tell me you're still asleep.
Danny's hiding under the bed, which Sam approaches and lays the tray of sandwiches and milk on the small table next to it. He pats the bed and discovers it's empty.
Well now. If I was a fellow who woke up in a strange house wearing someone else's pajamas, I would be pretty nervous. I'd try to find the safest place I could to hide.
Sam sits on the bed.
Now, when I was a kid, the safest place in the whole wide world was right where you are.
It does feel safe, doesn't it? Well, I figured a man who'd been out for 2 days would wake up pretty hungry, so... Hope you like peanut butter and jelly. My name is Sam, remember? Okay, you take your time.
Victoria and I are not big on asking questions. Figure when the person is ready, they'll give their answers. Okay?
Sam has laid the tray of food on the floor and Danny pulls it under the bed. Sam smiles.
Okay.
The dimly lit hallway of a spacious, high-ceilinged, comfortably furnished apartment. Danny peers down it through the windows in his bedroom door. He cautiously opens the door. Still collared, he creeps through the apartment and looks into another room. Sam is playing piano. Danny watches mesmerized. Behind him, the door opens. It's a slim young woman with short auburn hair, laden with bulging grocery bags. Danny, looking panicked, runs past her to his room. She gives him a friendly smile, showing her teeth braces.
Hey!
He slams his door.
He's cute.
Really?
I like his haircut. It's like when I was 6 and used to cut my own hair.
Yeah, well...
You and Mom thought it was cute.
He's not 6.
More is than not, I bet. Does he like to read?
Well, oh no.
Does he like to write? Does he like to draw?
Really? I don't know anything about him. Well, that's not altogether so. He likes music.
Cool.
She enters Danny's room with a keyboard. Under the bed, he panics.
Hi. Sam said you like music. You know how to use it? See? Nice, huh? Yeah. It was my dad's. He died before I was born, and then my mom gave it to me. But she died in a car accident, but not until after she married Sam. He was my dad's best friend. Am I talking too much? You know, because I do that sometimes. And if you're bored listening and I just keep going on and on, you just tell me, okay? I'm going to go help Sam with dinner. You can join us if you'd like, or you can eat under here. You know, it's just the food goes down easier if you eat it sitting up. You don't burp so much. My name's Victoria.
Cowering, Danny drags the keyboard under the bed as she leaves. She grins to herself and closes the door behind her. ...and positions the needle over it.
Should I go get him?
No. Let's let him get himself.
Maybe he doesn't know how.
Well, then, let's give him the opportunity to learn. Nothing like self-discovery for turning a boy into a man.
Who do you know? You never had a boy.
I was speaking from self-experience, if you don't mind. I was a boy myself once, you know.
No way.
Yes, way. Come on. Thank you for the food we're about to eat. Thank you for the peace this house possesses. Thank you for another day of health and happiness. And please, make sure Victoria kicks butt on her piano recital.
I thought we're not supposed to ask for things.
Says who?
Says you. Since I was a little girl, you told me those are the rules.
Oh, you mean I didn't tell you about the special exemption for very important piano recitals?
Oh, yeah, right. Exemptions. I buy that. Not.
You know, I liked it better when you just agreed with everything I said. How about some soup?
Danny appears in the doorway, clutching the keyboard.
Well, you're just in time. This is your place.
An empty chair at the table.
Come on, sit down.
Danny shuffles in and sits. Victoria smiles. His face is half hidden by the keyboard.
Okay. Victoria, would you?
Oh, sure.
She stands and ladles the soup into Danny's bowl.
Sam made this. It's his world famous potato and leek soup.
World famous.
There's your napkin.
Bread?
Nervous, Danny takes bread. He stuffs his napkin into his sweater, attempting to copy Sam's style. He breaks off a chunk of bread and, bending down low over his bowl, uses it to spoon up the soup.
This is a spoon. This is your spoon. Like this.
Victoria and Sam delicately sip soup from their spoons. Danny watches closely and sticks his spoon in his bowl. He hacks at bread swimming in the soup. Sam and Victoria watch his clumsy efforts, amused. Danny lifts his bowl in both hands and slurps soup.
A duet.
Danny unnaturally joins in the laughter.
My name is Danny.
He looks down shyly. Victoria bites her thumb. Sam smiles warmly.
I think we won't put a bandage back on and we'll let the mayor get to this. You're gonna be just fine. I've been meaning to ask you. What is this? Okay, no problem. I wasn't gonna take it off. You know, when I was a kid, I had a cowboy hat. I slept in it, I ate in it, I bathed in it. Anybody tried to take it off, I had the same reaction. So, anyway, I've been thinking, you've been cooped up in here for weeks now. Wouldn't you like to get some fresh air, stretch your legs? It's nice outside.
It's nice in here.
You're afraid that if you go out, you won't be able to come back in? We'll come back. Promise.
Sam, Victoria, and Danny walk along a busy city street.
You get to stay, Locke.
Sam wields a white cane. They halt outside a college building.
Okay.
All right. Great. We'll be back to get you at 3 o'clock.
I am 18, Sam.
Yeah, for a whole week and a half. All 3
right.
o'clock.
Bye.
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 She pecks Danny on the cheek. He reels.
You all right?
She kissed me.
Yeah, I know. She does that. How was it?
Wet.
But is that all?
Nice.
Wet? Nice. I was like, what a kiss ought to feel like. Come on, we got a lot to do.
They walk into a spa supermarket. A woman smiles at Sam from behind the counter.
Hello, love.
Oh, good morning, Maddie. Maddie runs the best supermarket in all of Glasgow. Maddie, this is Danny.
Hello, Danny.
A little shy.
Oh, I like my men to be shy. Presents a challenge for a girl.
I'm just going to give him some of the finer points of shopping.
Couldn't have a better teacher.
I bet so. My mother could take 2 stones and a cup of water and make a 3-course meal. As soon as I was old enough, she gave me the secret to great cooking. And now I'm going to teach it to you. So, you ready to learn the secret to great cooking?
Yes.
Okay, here it is. Food talks.
Food talks?
You know that, did you?
No.
Food talks. It will tell you everything you need to know. All you have to do is learn the language. Take this melon here, for instance, now. What do you think that's saying? Yeah, but it's also saying, I am ripe. You know what ripe means, don't you?
No.
Ripe means sweet, and sweet means good.
The kiss was ripe.
No. The kiss was sweet. The melon is ripe.
But ripe means sweet.
Well, when you're talking about food, kisses are nourishing in their own way, but kisses are complicated. For now, let's just stick to melons. You go ahead. You try it. And don't forget, use the language.
From an array of fruit, Danny gleefully picks out a huge yellow melon and flicks it.
Whoa, okay. How does that sound?
It's ripe.
Okay, and ripe means?
Ripe means sweet.
And sweet means?
Sweet means good.
All right, my man. Put it up there.
Sam offers a high five and Danny thrusts the melon at him. Victoria and Danny receive 2 double cup ice creams.
Thank you. This is the cone, and this is the ice cream. You ever had ice cream before?
No.
Well, this is vanilla ice cream. Vanilla's white.
Vanilla is white.
Go on, taste it.
They are seated in an ice cream parlor. He bites a chunk out of it and freezes. He grimaces and rolls the ice around his mouth.
No, just work it around. Oh, my gosh. Oh, you know the thing about ice cream? It's first it's cold, but then it's sweet. And if you freeze your mouth out, you're never going to be able to taste the sweet part. So look, here's how you do it.
Sweet is good.
Yeah, right. So look, you lick like that. There you go.
He licks keenly.
How's that?
They sit facing each other, eating. She offers him a paper napkin.
Look, you're getting it everywhere.
Walking outside.
Actually, we should really hurry. Come on. that okay? Okay. Finish it quickly.
Now remember, Sam asks where we were, you let me do the talking. He knows we had ice cream before dinner, he'll be pissed we ruined our appetite. Understand?
What's an appetite?
Appetite's what you have if you don't have a belly full of ice cream. How's my mouth?
Nice.
No, it's not. It's full of hardware, but not for much longer.
Do you miss your mom?
Every day. You miss your mom?
I don't remember my mom.
Sometimes I think it'd be easier not to remember.
Scampering into the kitchen.
Hi.
Hi.
You're late.
It was so nice out. We decided to walk the long way.
Oh, you just... Didn't I say bring her straight home?
Sam, it was me, not him.
Oh, it was... If you wanted to take the long way home, Victoria, you could have gone to that school in Kansas. Then you could have taken the long way home for 50 miles and I wouldn't care.
50 miles of corn.
Corn is safe.
Corn is boring. And anyway, this was the better school.
Which is why we're here and not with the corn, right? So do me a favor. Huh? Don't make me worry.
Okay, Sam. All
right. He sniffs her.
What is that?
What?
Smells like ice cream. Vanilla ice cream.
Vanilla is white. First, it's cold. Then it's sweet. Sweet is good.
Victoria smiles guiltily. Danny is hunched over his keyboard. At the dining table, Victoria is busy copying musical notation into an exercise book. Sam enters carrying a book.
Victoria?
Yeah?
Sometimes I worry about that boy. It's as if something or someone has made him shut down his feelings so hard he can no longer get in touch with them.
That's what I've been trying to get him to do.
With vanilla ice cream? Maybe we should come up with some different strategies. Good night.
He grips her hand, then departs. She returns to her studies. She opens the door to Danny's room where he's still playing. She beckons him to follow her. Sam is in bed asleep.
When I was little, I used to do this with my mom and Sam. It's kind of how I fell in love with music. See these thingies? They're called notes.
Notes?
Notes are signals.
Notes are signals.
Okay.
Notes are signals.
So, if you see this note, it's the signal to play this key. And this one, this key, and this one, this key. Right? So you're gonna play, and you're gonna hop. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
They are seated side by side at the piano. Danny grins. Victoria looks over him and smiles. She bumps shoulders playfully. Sam stirs. He listens, smiles, and lays his head back down. Danny flicks a melon and listens intently.
All right.
Hello, Sam.
Hi, Maddie.
How's the lessons going?
Oh, he's growing by leaps and bounds. What is this suit?
All right.
Fuck you, fucking shot! Fucking for your coat!
Youth run into the supermarket fighting.
Oh, Alex, get away with that, quick! Darius, get in!
Within.
Danny's listening to the melon.
Danny!
The youths flee.
This one's ripe.
Danny is cooking at home.
Danny,
You remember when I said that Victoria and I were not big on asking questions, that we thought when people were ready, they'd give their own answers?
I remember.
Well, after the day in the supermarket, I need some answers, and I don't think I'm going to get them without asking the questions. Is that all right?
Okay.
Okay. So, in the market, those men, they were fighting. You knew that, right?
Yes.
But that didn't bother you?
No.
You weren't afraid?
No.
Normally, people find themselves in situations like that. They get afraid.
They weren't fighting me.
Okay. One more question. When you first came to us, you were hurt pretty bad. How did that happen?
I asked for a piano.
You asked who for a piano?
My uncle.
Oh, you do have family?
No.
But you just said you had an uncle.
He's dead.
Oh.
Is this good?
That's wonderful.
Under blue skies, a chateau in the middle of parkland. Sam, Victoria, and Danny amble across a stone bridge. They grin happily. Danny's walking outside Victoria's college. Lost ice cream.
You're acting ridiculous. It's not so bad.
On a boating lake, Victoria rows as Danny sits rigid, terrified, in a life jacket. Eating ice cream, they admire bright orange goldfish in a tank in a shop window. Now with Sam, they drop petals into a pond. Danny sits alone in a cinema watching a movie. The audience flinches one. Victoria brings popcorn and sits beside him. Danny, hypnotized, rests his hand on Victoria's atop the popcorn. They munch as they watch. Sitting side by side, they play piano. Danny is wearing a new sweater, but he is still collared. Victoria nudges him playfully, and he nudges her back. In a dentist's waiting room, Danny makes eye contact with the dog. Victoria comes out and smiles broadly. Her braces are gone. She licks her teeth happily. In sunshine, the trio walk towards a conservatory in a park. A camera sits on a metal fence, and they pose for a timed photo.
Now that looks like it belongs there.
Where is it?
It's right there.
Well, yes. It belongs there.
Opens. Victoria peers in.
Hi. I come in?
Okay.
Where'd you learn that?
Learn what?
The piece of music you just played.
It's what I hear in my head.
Do it again.
Wearing a dressing gown, she sits on his bed.
It's hard. Someone had to teach it to you. You don't remember?
No.
Maybe in your other life. The one you had before us.
I don't know.
Everything is new about you now. Your clothes, your hair, your whole life. This is the last thing that...
She touches his collar, and he grabs her hand.
I think it's time to put the last thing away. Don't you?
He relaxes and frees her hand. She slowly reaches towards the collar. Danny is frozen, his eyes unblinking, terrified. Concentrating, she places both hands on the collar and undoes the buckle. Immediately, Danny has a flashback to his violence. He jerks away from Victoria. She recoils. The collar hangs open but still loose around his neck. She reaches forward again. She carefully pulls the collar away. Danny is tense, immobile, eyes wide. She examines his chafed neck and runs her fingers over it tenderly. She strokes the side of his neck.
Everything is new about you now.
He sits stunned. She leans in towards him. Their lips are inches apart. Then she kisses him gently on the side of the neck. He doesn't respond. Slowly she pulls back from him and gives him a faint smile. She leaves, and his eyes follow her as she goes. He feels his neck where she kissed him, then strokes around where the collar used to be. As a black cab drives away, Danny leads Sam down a driveway to an imposing mansion. Inside, Sam removes a glove and strokes a polished piano.
Oh, yes. My boy, we're going to have fun.
Danny plays, Sam tunes.
That's good. Alrighty then. You know, Victoria's big recital is next month, right? Do you remember me telling you about where I grew up in New York City?
Where Carnegie Hall is?
Yeah, well, that's where Victoria and I are from. That's our home.
This is your home?
No, this is just a temporary home. We only came here so Victoria could attend school. What I'm trying to say, Danny, is after Victoria graduates, we're going to go back home. We're going to go back to New York. And I don't know how this will work out, but we would really like for you to come with us because we've begun to think of you as family. And, well, that's what families do. They stick together, or at least this one does. So, what do you say?
They clasp hands and Danny hugs Sam.
Yes.
Danny rocks in Sam's arms, grinning. Sam counts out banknotes.
2, 3, 4, 5. This is your pay.
To Danny.
50-50. Partners. You and me. Happy?
What do I do with it?
Anything you want.
Danny stares at the banknotes. He runs down the street in the rain. In the supermarket, he tries on a variety of joke hats. A tartan beret with a ginger wig. A cap resembling a tortoise. A Viking helmet with braids. Back on the street, he bumps into Lefty.
Oh! God's sake, man! Danny! All right, Danny, look at you! You look great, man! Look at... You smell divine, pal. I tell you, I don't know what you're wearing. Well, fancy bumping into you, eh? Boss sends me out, get some mangoes and papayas, and look what I find instead. A lemon. Whoa. Your Uncle Bart has been sick with worry, mate. Yeah, his little pet all lost in the world. That's all he keeps on talking about, honestly. Where's my little Danny?
He's dead.
Who told you that?
I saw.
Well, you saw wrong, mate, because he's very, very much alive and very much looking forward to you coming home.
Not my home anymore.
Not my home anymore. Why? You've got a new home, have you, Danny? Eh? Woo! You've got a new family as well? Well, tell you what. If you don't come home like a good little bitch, Uncle Bart will send a few of the boys out to pay a visit to your new home. Would you like that? Wouldn't be too hard to find, what with you shopping here and all.
Lefty sports Danny's Viking hat. Bart, arm in a cast, neck in a brace.
Look who's come home to his loving Uncle Bart! Give me that hug.
That's my boy. Ooh, you're looking smart. Oh, look at her.
Regna the prick.
We've missed you around here, haven't we?
Yeah, we've definitely missed you, Danny.
Must have really scared you. That accident, all that shooting... Yeah, me too. Oh, look at me. Look. Right? I've been laid up for a month, but I'm back and I'm ready to roll. You ready to roll?
I have a question.
A question? Wonders never cease. It's not about that bleeding piano again, is it?
No.
Oh, well. Well, I'm so pleased to have you home. I'll answer one question. Go on, fire away.
Did you know my mum?
Your mum? Why would I know your mum? I found you in the street, laying on the pavement. You was half dead. He couldn't even talk. He was just lying. No one wanting you. No one caring whether you lived or died. Except me. I've told you all this before, remember? All right, listen, I'll show you stuff. It'll jog your memory.
A drawer full of photos.
That was our first collaboration. It was.
A photo of Danny fighting.
Danny, what's this sudden fascination with the past? Have you been talking to people? No.
Bart's grim visage cracks into a smile.
You want some good advice from your Uncle Bart, eh? Don't dwell on the past. Look to the future. The past is behind you. The future is ahead of you. Like a bright, glittering mountain of gold. Do you want to know what your future is, Danny?
A shiny new collar reads, Danny, the Fight Club.
I'm thrilled you're here. We've been waiting for you. Has our friend been practicing on you?
Had an accident.
Right this way. The show's about to start. How's our boy?
He's never been better.
Hope so, because he certainly has his work cut out for him tonight.
Yeah, I'll dress him in his Sunday best.
The crowd cheers on fighters in a sunken fighting pit.
We are expecting more of a show this time.
Don't worry about it. We've got it all worked out. Isn't that right, Dan?
Horrified, Danny watches the brutal hand-to-hand combat below them. One fighter passes out from a headlock. The winning muscular thug punches the air. Danny looks sick while the raucous crowd whoop and jig. A robed, shaven-headed figure, the stranger, sits in semi-darkness at a table, observing all. The losing fighter is twisted leg first out of the pit. Racks of melee weapons are wheeled out into the viewing terrace. Bart, his arm in a sling, to Danny.
Listen, give these toffs a bit of a show. Play in for a bit. Make it look as if there might be a chance that you could lose.
Gentlemen.
What?
To the death.
Yeah, go on.
Danny doesn't budge.
What's wrong with you?
I don't want to hurt people anymore.
Excuse me? Danny, that's what you do. You hurt people.
Not anymore.
What the hell's happened to you? Who's been filling your head with this crap? Hey?
Anything wrong, gentlemen?
No. We're fine. No, just discussing strategy.
Of course.
What's wrong with you, little shit? I'm gonna get down there and you're gonna do your job or I'm gonna have your balls on a stick! Now go!
I don't wanna hurt people anymore.
I'll make you a deal. If you go down there tonight, do your job, I promise you, tomorrow, I will buy you the nicest piano in the whole bleeding city. How's that?
I don't wanna hurt people anymore.
Then you're dead!
Bart shoves Danny into the pit. And the thug flying kicks Danny to the wall. The thug attacks. Danny parries and dodges. Danny is kicked to the ground, recovers, but is then battered and pressed against the wall covered in barbed wire. Danny slips through the thug's legs and attacks but pulls his punch.
Game, Tiger! Ah! Come on! Come on, Danny! Come on!
Danny parries and dodges and pushes his opponent away. The tattooed giant thug lunges again. Danny avoids. The crowd cheer angrily. Bart watches. Wyatt.
What's going on?
Well, you said you wanted it to be more of an entertainment.
Not even fighting back.
Bart turns and spots something behind wire. It's a primitive hatchet on a rack. He grabs it. It lands at Danny's feet.
Pick it up! Get it! Danny!
The thug swipes it and swings it at Danny, cutting his sweater. Danny dodges acrobatically. Danny is kicked down. The thug charges, embedding the axe in stone.
Hurry!
Danny kicks the thug away and leaps onto his back. The two men whirl around, locked together.
I think we have a problem here.
What?
These people came to see a fight, not a bloody game of tag. You mind if I get a little creative with the format?
It's your show.
Wyeth signals and three more fighters leap down into the pit and attack Danny. Danny defends but is pummeled, scissor kicked in the face and stomped on by all four fighters. Danny kicks two off and grabs a third. The thug lifts Danny above his head and Danny rides as he's held aloft before being dumped hard on the stone floor. Danny is held up by his ankles and pounded on like a punchbag. His hand is trampled before he is sent flying backward by a kick and lands, apparently lifeless.
Danny, you're ruining me here! It's time to make some money! Danny, you're gonna get killed! Fight back!
Danny staggers to his feet, Bart's face contorts with rage.
Danny!
The thug roars and charges. Danny leaps and kicks him down. An Amazonian fighter attacks with knees and elbows. He throws her and punches her repeatedly. He viciously kicks and punches all four opponents. The crowd cheer wildly. Assorted melee weapons are flung into the pit. The Amazon grabs an axe. Another fighter wields a spear. The thug grabs a sledgehammer, but Danny kicks him away. The fight continues. Danny against his armed opponents. Danny disarms one fighter and defends, using the spear as a quarterstaff. The thug's hammer blow bends the spear. Danny ducks the hammer and spears the thug's foot. Now armed with the hammer, Danny cripples the Amazon, then uses it to break both arms of another opponent. Danny charges angrily, swinging at his final prone enemy. The hammer embeds itself in the stone floor beside the trembling man's head. The crowd cheer wildly from above as Danny recovers from his frenzy.
Kill him! If you don't kill him, I don't get paid!
Bart is pelted.
Kill him, for Christ's sake! Kill him! Come on! Before they kill me! Kill him! Oh, fuck it!
Bart guns down the thug. Danny whirls angrily to look up at Bart.
No more killing! I decide when there's no more killing. I, me, the master commands and the dog obeys. I will kill you. Put him to bed. Hurry up!
Danny is flung back into his cellar cage.
Why'd he leave?
Sam shakes his head.
Maybe he had something to do.
I thought he was happy here.
Well, sweetie, sometimes being happy just isn't enough. Sometimes people have to go back and fix the things that made them unhappy before they were happy.
I could help him.
I know. Sometimes people have to do things themselves.
She looks down sadly. In his cage, collared Danny reads his ABC book in the darkness. Flashes of lightning illuminate the pages. He studies the pages, showing L and M. takes out an old torn photo and examines it. He looks up at the grill above him. His fingers poke through the grill as they pull it back. Furtively, he pokes his head out. Emptying Bart's drawer of photos, he scrabbles through them. A photo of him as a young boy with an old man. He clutches it to his chest and continues searching. He picks out another photo and scrutinizes it. A young Oriental woman is playing concert piano. Victoria plays in Sam's apartment. Sam shuffles past her. Bart flings a topless prostitute onto his desk. He notices the mound of spilled photos and turns on the desk light. Danny is sitting there.
You lied to me!
Hey, you bastard!
What are you doing in my fucking chair, you little Rachel? You lied to me! This is my mother. You knew my mother.
She was a whore. Do you know what a whore is, Danny? Money for sex. Not a girl's upbringing. I did everything I could to help her. I liked your mum. She understood me. If there'd have been anybody really special, it would have been her. When she died, I thought I owed it to her. To raise you. To protect you. Look, there's other pictures here. Look.
A photo of Danny's mother posing beside a younger Bart. Danny fondles the photo, overcome with emotion.
I'm sorry I lied to you, Danny. I did it out of love.
He grips Danny's collar.
Now, let's go and make up some of that money you lost for me the other night. Right!
Looking out onto urban landscapes through a rain-stained car window.
You know, Danny, sometimes in families, you need a little tragedy just to bring everybody back together.
Absolutely, boss. You know, it's like me and my brother in Blackpool. We used to go down the beach.
Excuse me. Like, where's the manners? I'm talking.
I was just validating, boss.
Did I ask for a validation?
No, but I thought, you know, because
we brother... Will you shut your yet? Now I've lost a train of my thoughts. What was I saying?
Families.
Right, yeah.
All this should be together.
Exactly. Families should be together.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Danny lunges for the steering wheel.
Come on! Come on!
What are you doing?
Danny!
Slow down!
The vehicle flies up into the air and crashes, landing on its roof. The car lies upside down, steaming in the road. Lefty's bloodied head hangs out of the shattered window. Danny pulls himself up and crawls out of the wreckage, over broken glass onto the rain-soaked road. He stands groggily, his cheek is gashed. He pulls his new collar off and throws it down on the tarmac before loping away. Drenched, Danny arrives at Sam's.
My mother, she was a whore.
Victoria studies a photo.
Look, not that I'm an expert, but I have to say, she does not look like, you know, that kind of woman.
What does that mean?
Oh, she's playing the piano.
What else is in the photo?
There's a bunch of students in uniform. There's a big stained glass window. It looks like an academy or something. And there's two baby grands back to back.
What kind of baby grands?
Play-o, both.
Sam suddenly sits up straight.
I've got an idea.
Excellent job you made of tuning the pianos of the concert hall, young man.
Why, thank you, ma'am.
Last fellow we had in was so drunk, he didn't find the hall. Ended up tuning the plumbing. Terrible mess.
Inside a music academy, Danny looks down into a room with two baby grand pianos.
Danny?
Danny follows Sam.
32 years of faces, and I've never forgotten one. Especially this one.
Why especially this one?
Brilliant girl. Absolutely brilliant. Destined for great things, we were sure of it. And then, one day, she just disappeared. We thought she'd gone home. We thought maybe it was financial. We knew she had some money problems. But then, a family from China wrote to ask why she hadn't got in touch with them. Had a little boy and everything. Very strange. Sad, really. Here she is.
The woman hands Danny a photo from the archives. A pretty oriental woman is playing piano. Flashback, Danny's mum plays piano, as a very young Danny crawls around underneath it. Danny's mum cuddles him, they play and laugh. They play piano side by side. Back in the present, Danny's face quivers with emotion. Overwhelmed with joy, he looks up at Sam. Danny and Sam leave the academy, arm in arm.
You okay?
I'm okay.
You sure?
Sure.
Okay.
They walk away from the Grand Academy building. Victoria arrives home.
Hello?
She removes her coat. She gazes around.
Danny?
She hangs up her scarf and peers through the window in Danny's room door. She knocks. Danny is lying on his bed.
You were supposed to pick me up.
I'm sorry.
You got another picture?
He's staring at another photo of his mother.
The lady said that she was an excellent piano player.
I'm sure.
Victoria checks the picture. Danny looks at her.
You want to hear what she played?
How?
Through a magnifying glass.
See? Mozart Sonata number 11.
Magnifying the musical score Danny's mother is reading from in the picture.
Your mom didn't just play music. She played beautiful music. Magical music. Great music.
Victoria sits at the piano and opens a Mozart songbook. She traces the notation with a finger and then starts to play. Danny is transported. Flashback, a simple wooden toy car crashes under a piano. Danny's mum looks down at her child. They smile at each other. His mum shoves him in a closet and shushes him in. Seen from the closet, a young Bart in a white suit caresses Danny's distressed mother. Young Danny watches. An unshaven hoodlum leers as Bart nuzzles up to her. Bart grips her hands. The hoodlum glances over at the closet. Danny's mum smashes a vase over Bart's head. Angry Bart wipes blood from his temple and cocks a revolver. Back in the present, Victoria plays. Flashback, younger Bart points his gun at Danny's mother's head. Young Danny's eyes widen. His mother looks to him. Her head explodes. Younger Danny charges out and attacks the hoodlum. Bart swats him aside and signals the hoodlum to stay back. Bart indicates the boy and the hoodlum grabs him. He is hauled away. Young Danny rips a photo from the wall. Danny's mother lies dead. Bart is in the spa supermarket.
I'm sorry to inconvenience you, but I really do need to know where to find him.
No, I've never seen him before in my life.
Bart points a handgun at Maddie.
Let me rephrase the question.
Sam trips on a bag.
What is this?
Oh, Sam! Oh, Sam! He remembered. I was playing the piano, the music,
Wait, slow down. Remembered what?
His mother, who killed his mother.
You remember who killed your mother?
We have to go.
Oh, wait, son, wait now. Before we go running off anywhere, let's stop and take a deep breath and decide what's going on. Tell me from the top. Danny?
A white limousine pulls up in the street below. A gang of thugs carrying weapons enter the apartment building. Bart looks up from the back seat of the limo. Inside, Danny opens closet doors.
Danny, wait. Listen to me, Danny. Wait, will you just listen?
No time.
He shoves them into the closet.
Danny, wait. Shh.
Flashback to his mother shushing him. Danny attacks the thugs. He downs several and runs off. More thugs block the stairs. He sprints down a corridor. Outside, Lefty walks over and leans into Bart's car.
Boss, these boys aren't up to it.
He's fucked off.
Get him here.
Wait! I want him alive. He's not worth shit to me, dead. Go on.
A taciturn, shaven-headed man in monk-like robes sits beside Bart. It's the stranger. Inside, Danny fights off waves of armed attackers with acrobatic martial arts moves. Danny somersaults backwards and lands on a thug's belly. He simultaneously kicks two attackers through doors.
You better get in now.
The mean-looking stranger climbs out of the limo, holding a short sword in a scabbard. He sweeps towards the building, robes billowing. Danny is being chased across roofs. He turns to fight off four pursuing the thugs. Lefty arrives with reinforcements.
You use that way!
Lefty bounces up and down excitedly, wielding two handguns. He shoots at Danny. Danny leaps into a hole in a chimney stack and rolls out into an abandoned apartment. The stranger lands behind him and swings his blade. He slices hair off ducking Danny, then lunges. Danny fends him off and the men fight. Danny gets cut on the shoulder. Danny defends himself with fire tongs and cuts the stranger's trousers. Danny's improvised weapons are broken and he is kicked clean through a window. He hangs from a cable strung high above a courtyard. The stranger flings his blade, which slices the cable. Danny swings down on a severed cable and in through the window of a toilet cubicle. He cautiously opens the door. He tiptoes through a bathroom where a woman is showering. He reaches for the doorknob. The stranger punches through the door and they tussle again in front of the terrified naked woman. Danny parries a flurry of punches and kicks. Danny is kicked down into the toilet. The stranger shatters the cistern and they fight in the cramped cubicle. The woman flees as Danny batters in the toilet. Danny bites the stranger's chest. The vicious scrap continues.
Ah!
The stranger headbutts the wall behind Danny. Danny kicks him away. They are in an art studio. They circle warily amidst sculptures, drawings, and paintings. Driving into the courtyard below.
Nice. This'll keep it out of harm's way.
The limousine parks up. Danny kicks the stranger out through a window, but grabs the man's trousers before he falls. Debris rains down.
Yes!
Bart looks up to see his henchman's trousers ripped. The stranger splats on the limo's roof.
That son of a bitch!
Bart rips off his neck brace.
It's all going on the bill, Danny boy! You hear me? It's going on the bill! And you're gonna pay him.
Bart grabs a handgun. Danny hurtles out of the apartment and down the stairs. Bart blocks his path. He aims his gun at Danny, who flees back upstairs.
No! It was your fault, really! You were such a scrapper! I could see the potential! With the right training! My own little guided missile. Listen, Danny! I know we've had some rough patches, but your family doesn't, eh? Listen, you get over this business. We're gonna have plenty more.
Lefty and more thugs block Danny.
Guys, find him!
Danny blocks the doorway with a shelving unit.
Please in there,
John!
Come on!
Let me listen.
Thugs shoot at Danny from the street. Lefty is behind Bart outside the door.
Stop breathing down my fucking ear.
Sorry, boss.
Just move back.
Danny leaps up and pulls down a ceiling light fitting, tearing out a large hole above it. He pulls himself up and into it. He crawls between floors. Bart listens.
Clever little bastard. Wait here. All of you. Wait here. Danny! Danny! Danny, where are you?
Victoria and Sam cower in the closet. Bart picks up Danny's discarded old collar. His face twitches. He dumps it. Now Bart holds up.
Pajamas? Fucking pajamas? You ungrateful little bastard! Where are you?
Danny bursts up through floorboards in Sam's apartment. Victoria spies him from the closet. Bart confronts Danny.
You gave our good life for this. This is it. This is your refuge, your home away from home. This is your place of awakening? Art? Books? Music? For what? Did it make you a better person? Look what you made of it. Nice people took you in. They give you everything. And look how you repay them. You destroyed their lives. Like you'll destroy any life. That's because you're not meant for this kind of life, Danny. You're a dog. You're my dog. I fed you, I trained you, I own you, and I should kill you like any responsible owner would do to a dog that caused this much pain. This much suffering.
Bart trains his gun on immobile Danny. Bart closes his eyes and looks to the heavens, then lowers his weapon. He drops the gun.
The heart.
He pulls Danny's new collar from his pocket and holds it out.
Come home, Danny. All's forgiven. You'll be safe. You'll be back in a world that you understand. The only world you'll ever understand. What do you say? Forgive and forget.
Danny's eyes bore into Bart.
I know just how confusing the world can get. We'll make it simple again. You, me, our cozy little life. Come on, Danny, come on. Come on. Yes, that's my boy. Yes, come on. Come on. Welcome home, Danny.
I am home.
Danny whips Bart with a collar, breaks Bart's wrist, and punches and kicks Bart to the floor. Bart stands up. Danny kicks Bart down and grips his throat.
No, Danny! No, he's gonna kill him!
No, Danny! Danny, no!
Don't do this, Danny.
Don't!
He killed my mother!
It won't bring her back! And you'll be just like him!
He is me! We're both animals! Yeah. Fucking
no, no, you're not an animal. If you kill him, Danny, everything you've done to make yourself happy will be
lost. Don't listen to this crap! Please.
They will lock you in a cage forever!
Animals!
No, Danny! No!
Kill me!
No, Danny!
You know why he wants you to kill him?
It's the only thing you can do. Danny, Victoria. Remember what I did to her? I screwed her every day. Yeah. I mounted her like the bitch she was.
Danny throws Sam off and holds his angry fist over Bart's battered face.
You'll never be anything but a dog. You never escape what you are. You never escape what I made you. A killer. That's what you are. And that's what you'll always be. Now, be a good dog. Kill me. Get it over with. Come on! Kill me!
Sam clobbers him.
Shut the hell up.
Bart lies dead. Sam hugs Danny.
That man could talk some serious shit.
Victoria hugs Danny, who smiles weakly. They clasp hands fervently. In the trash department, the trio hug each other tight. Dead Bart laid out beneath them. A packed concert hall. A well-dressed audience take their seats. Sam and Danny are dressed in black tie.
You all right with that thing around your neck?
Is it okay?
Well, I had to say it was a decided improvement.
Ladies and gentlemen, the recipient of the 200th awarding of the Scholarship for Excellence in Piano, Miss Victoria McMill.
Victoria strides on stage in a black off-the-shoulder evening dress.
Tonight is dedicated to someone wonderful.
That's you.
Oh, no, it's not me she's talking about.
Someone whose life was quite literally saved by music.
That's you, my boy.
Danny grins. On stage, Victoria sits at a grand piano. She composes herself. Danny listens intently, his face glowing with rich emotion. Victoria's fingers glide across the keys, and they become the fingers of another woman in a red dress, also playing the piano. It's Danny's mother, her pretty face serene. She looks up at her young son drawing nearby and smiles happily. swooping through the inner workings of the piano. ITFC audio description.